Hey, it's Kyle from Puronage, and I'm chilling with Steve Snowball. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's Kyle from Puronage. I'm sitting here chilling with Steve Snowball Sailor and Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Kyle's totally gay.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired. Thinking
impaired. And we did all that without computers.
They don't let us out much.
We have an intro?
Not really, this is just us ad-libbing.
Are you ready for a sexy party?
Son of Jor-El, kneel before Dodd.
Or me, whichever.
If you've seen Godzilla vs. Mothra 37 times, I think I've got a show for you.
You're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and Steve Snowball Sailor here on 90.1 FM, The New Geek.
Hey everybody, welcome to a special episode of This Week in Geek. We have the greatest gamers of all time. We have the guys from Puronage.com. It's an internet podcast all about the mockumentary of the life of a pro gamer. So we have, obviously,
Mike the Birdman Dodd, your intrepid host, co-host, and annoying guy in general.
And then we also have
Jeff LaPere, one of the guys that makes the show.
And Jared Kane, the other guy.
The other guy. Awesome. So,
and I think you forgot somebody.
We also have a special guest, yes?
Hello. It's Brent, the Closet Geek from the Closet Geek Show podcast.
Cool.
That
awesome.
Was very smooth, Brent.
I do know best.
Awesome. So, all right. So, why don't you tell us a little bit for the uneducated? What is Puronage?
Well, the way that we describe it, always, I don't know how many times we've said this, is it's a show about video games and internet culture, and focuses on this character Jeremy, who's the brother of Kyle. I play Kyle. Kyle's a film student who walks around with a camera and speaks from behind the camera, and pretty much documents the life of his brother, who is ridiculously into video games. And in fact, he took the video game thing really far and exaggerated gaming culture. So this character Jeremy, who's played by Jared Kale, is probably the most serious gamer in the world.
It's basically just about how much I know.
That is awesome. All right, so how did it all start? Like, how did you all of a sudden just decide to just do a show about a pro gamer?
Well, we were interested in making a show about something fun, and at the time, all we were doing was playing games. And so that was fresh in our minds, and then we got a camera to shoot some test footage and get familiar with our editing software. Concept phase of the show, and I started improvising characters, which was based on little kids on the forums that I was reading all the time. We were doing one replays for the night after dinner as an hour. So, yeah, I improvised this character. Jeff filmed it, edited it, and ended up putting it on a forum online, and it sort of went viral. And the audience decided that was the concept for our show. And it was the success of that first preview. But
cool. All right, so now, when you guys first started, how many people were actually watching all your episodes?
I think the first video we made, we were really excited that a couple hundred people had downloaded it, and for us that was a huge audience. I used to play in bands around in the Toronto area. Jarrett used to do gigs as a comedian, and if you can get a room with 200 people, that's amazing. So this was a big deal for us, performing on the internet. It was awesome. Then our audience doubled after every episode release for, I think, the next six episodes pretty steadily. And by around episode six and seven, we started to get millions of people watching the show. And this was a really big deal. It was just crazy. And it's hard to sort of fathom, to picture the audience that you're performing for, because they're all, you're so far removed from them on the internet. They're all behind their screens. You're behind your screen. But it's a pretty significant viewership that we've got for just being this show on the internet.
And you guys only have right now, basically, you have 12 episodes out. Tomorrow, actually, on April 14th, you're about to just start release your season 2 premiere at the Blur Cinemas, correct?
Yes.
And you guys are just actually starting up basically a world tour?
We are in the planning phases of a world tour. Right now, it's just North America. So we're doing seven stops across Canada and the U.S., New York and California and Texas and the big places. And in the future, we'll take it to Europe and Australia and see what goes from there.
That's cool. So, how many people are you expecting to come out to these screenings?
The screening tomorrow will be sold out. We'll pack in 850-person theater.
Wow.
It will be quite the energetic experience, far more energetic than I am right now.
That's okay. Yeah, it's like 1 in the morning.
We've been awake for about 4 days. So.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Wow, that sounds like us when we're at school.
Oh, very, very much so.
But yeah, it's really amazing. Like to see Pure Orange in a theater, it's not like watching a regular TV show or a movie. The people are so into it, and they cheer, and they're yelling and screaming, and it's really half the experience is just being there with the other fans, because all the fans are so diehard about seeing a new episode live in a theater and being the first people in the entire world out of people in all the different countries that watch Pure Onage. It's a global audience, so they feel real special when they come to what has become our mecca for our live show, which is the Bloor Cinema in Toronto.
That's cool. Now, you guys actually have like a full, pretty much whole stage show, right?
I mean, we hold contests and whatnot, and we interact on stage. The cast and the creators, we get on stage and we talk to the audience, and you know, we try to be funny and do whatever. And the whole experience is very sort of Rocky Horror picture show-esque. You know, people dress up in the costumes of their favorite characters, and they emulate the behavior of the characters. Yeah, it's a pretty interactive experience.
That's cool. Now, your character is obviously really well known, Jared, as the main character, Jeremy.
Yep.
So you obviously would get recognized pretty quickly.
Yeah, I have to hide. I get swarmed pretty bad, so I hide the whole show until I finally get brought out on stage, and then I lavish in the worship.
Yeah. Now, what sucks though about you, Jeff, is that no one knows you, because you're the guy behind the camera, Kyle. Correct?
Yeah. In fact, my face was a secret.
That's right.
It was a running gag in the show that you wouldn't see my face because I was just a behind camera character, and we would always find ways to obscure my face. And as jokes sometimes in some of the episodes. But this time around, people know what I look like because we've done credits after episode 12. Before, the show was completely uncredited, so you didn't know who made it. You didn't know what the creators looked like. But now I've done interviews on TV. You know, there's a shot of my face in the last episode finally revealed.
That was epic. That was very, very epic reveal.
The last shot is my face, but it's not very well lit. I don't think I look all that great, so it's kind of too bad that my face is that...
You do look a little bit pale, but that could be just the persona of Kyle. He's just extremely pale because he's inside editing all the time.
Yeah, you know, I never had the concern that actors have of sort of looking good, staying thin, and
right.
You know, how are you looking? Because I was always behind the camera, I didn't care. So I think I had my first sort of feeling like a big girl experience.
Very well put.
So now that you finally have been revealed as Kyle, do you get recognized a lot more now? Not as much as Jared would, but are you starting to kind of see all some people come, hey, you're Kyle?
Yeah, I haven't had many street recognitions actually, and I think Jared is pretty stealthy too, because you know it's really funny how most people don't recognize him without his bandana. It's really odd. There was one time when we were at the CES conference, and we met this guy, you know, shook his hand, and he was from some video card company, and EVGA, yeah, it was the EVGA guys, yeah, and we were having dinner with him, and we sat down and we started chatting, and I said, oh, so what do you do? Okay, blah blah. But what do you do? Oh, we make this internet show. And then his face lit up, and he pointed at Jared, and he said, hey, and, you know, he was a huge fan of the show. And he's like, oh my God, I didn't even recognize you. And me and Jared and I were laughing, you know, just, the bandana is really a funny thing.
The Clark Kent, you know, it has that very Clark Kent mystique.
Actually, maybe that's why I didn't recognize you when I walked in. I didn't realize the bandana.
Yeah. I also talk a lot differently in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was kind of noticing, actually, I was saying this to Steve earlier. I think I counted like 12 likes in like a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was laughing at that earlier.
Yeah. I noticed you phased that out extremely quickly, all the likes.
Yes. Yeah. There was some negative feedback for the likes. So.
Yeah. Now you develop kind of your own language for really the character. I mean, it's like,
it's an original accent. It doesn't actually exist. It's sort of a blend of a few accents, a little bit of Eastern Canadian in there. And the theory is that he developed the accent on his own because his interactions with the outside world are almost entirely through his computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a child that grew up interacting with everyone through his computer, he never learned the accents and language that other people learn through direct physical contact and interaction. So That's his own unique accent for a basement kid like Jeremy.
Could we listen to a sample?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could talk like a little bit or something, you know.
We've got to get these guys to do some sort of a promo for us. Steve, you totally realize this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. just so we're clear.
That's awesome. Okay, so now you also guys just released your kind of first season on DVD, correct?
Yeah, we're taking pre-orders now, and they'll be shipping May 7th. And it's going to be 3 discs, all 12 episodes, and then a disc of special features. We have some cast interviews, deleted scenes, and all the regular stuff that you get on DVDs. I think, we even did episode commentary for all the episodes.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, there's everything that every diehard Pure Orange fan would want in a DVD set.
So what was the most rewarding experience of actually doing the whole kind of DVD set thing? What was the best special feature to, say, work on?
Well, I mean, obviously the cast interviews. It might be the cast interviews that were most rewarding, maybe. I think it's, from a fan's perspective, I think they'll enjoy being able to see a lot of the other characters, a lot of the other actors, out of character. Jeff and I do a lot of interviews, but a few people have had a chance to talk to Joel and Miranda and the other people involved, so I think that they'll be really excited about that. There's also, I mean, what has to be at least half an hour of extra content, extra scenes, lines that were cut, and this and that. And to any diehard fan, they're getting more than a whole episode or two of just extra jokes and whatnot thrown in there. So,
yeah, the interview segment is really funny. Like, we didn't really plan it out to be funny, but it was just we had the cameras rolling on them, and it's cut well. Jared edited up the interviews, actually.
Oh, okay.
And
which is obviously why it's awesome.
Of course.
To me, like, I sat down and watched it. I was just laughing throughout the whole thing, and it's 40 minutes or whatever. So it's kind of like another Pure Orange episode almost in terms of comedy and having a lot of the actors just tell their stories.
Are you ever going to release that as kind of like a special episode, or is that just going to be exclusively for the DVD?
It's going to be exclusively on the DVD, yeah.
I see. How much is the DVD going to be going for?
What are we selling it for? 34, 35, yeah.
It's a 4-disc set, $35.
And then you're also selling the soundtrack with that too, correct?
Yeah, you can get the soundtrack bundled in for like another $5 or something. It's a smoking deal if you buy both, I think, right?
Yeah.
40.
Now, you work on the soundtrack. You do all the music, Jeff, don't you?
Most of it. A lot of the music is musicians that I know, friends of mine. I sometimes get them in my studio, or I borrow tracks that they've recorded in their studios. Pretty much it's been most of the soundtrack is recorded in various dorm rooms and around the University of Toronto. I'm actually pretty proud of it. And again, it's all the music that the diehard Pure Orange fan would want. I think we packed it to it's around 70 minutes long.
Wow!
So I just put everything I could think of on there, and I think it plays well as a nice album you can listen through too.
Yeah. Now there's one song I had to talk about, at least the Legend of the Noob song. How did all of a sudden that come about?
Well, Jeff had this melody in his room that he was playing for me, and I thought it was really catchy, and we wanted to sort of make a song for the show. This was episode 2. This is really early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Jeff's a musician, so I mean, so we were just in his room playing around, and he started playing on his mini Moog this melody, and I sort of had an idea for some lyrics in my mind and how it might go. So I told him to just bust out a mic and just record me for a sec. And then I sang the Noob song, and it was just improvised, and it was one take, and that was all it ever was.
Are you serious? It's like one take?
It was just one take, improvised, and that was the song. And then we put it online, and people loved it, and the song almost went viral on its own. And then people started transcribing the lyrics, and they're writing us and this and that, and all these people are singing the song.
Oh,
and
wow.
People are doing their own versions. That a song I don't know the words to, because it was just in my head once for one moment. So I actually had to go back, read the transcriptions, and learn the lyrics so that I wouldn't be stumped if someone were to ask me the lyrics for my own song.
So you see, now is that part of the show? Now you have to actually sing the song?
No, I've never sang the song. In fact, I probably couldn't even sing it right now.
Really?
Yeah. you were going to ask him, weren't you?
Yes, I was. That was my next
that
question.
Off the pass.
Well, my next question, though, Al, is like, how did all of a sudden the kazoo come into the play? Because I remember seeing that there was a kazoo that you guys did. You guys do that at the live show, that you just have a whole bunch of people that have bring those. And
it's episode 8.
Yeah, this was, in terms of the instruments I've got at my disposal, it's kind of like I've got my synthesizers. I'm an okay guitarist. I can play a few chords, but nothing fancy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I kind of want to collect all these musical instruments. Like I got a little egg shaker, I got a tambourine, I got all the stuff, and the kazoos. Whatever, kazoos are like $2, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, it's kind of like, I guess, budget studio. That's how the kazoo gets in the song. But it was for when we were recording the second half of the Noob song. I had the choir people in, and I had bought a bunch of kazoos just because I thought, you know, at the end it would be kind of neat to have the choir singing and then have them pull out the kazoos.
That's cool.
And it was the episode 12 premiere. One of our fans and forum member, Isaac Wilson, brought, I think, hundreds of kazoos, and he was giving them out in the lineup at the Bloor Cinema. And we had a little Noob song sing-along, and all the audience was playing along on their kazoos. And that was a fun experience.
That's cool.
Actually, speaking of experiences for fans, what has been the best fan experience you guys have both experienced together?
Well, together, I'm not sure. But the two Swedish twins have got to be pretty high on the list.
Two Swedish twins?
No, I'm kidding.
Darn.
Together. Blackmail material. Together. Was just remember those Hungarian twins? I guess that was together.
Yeah. They were sisters.
Yeah, they were sisters.
Okay, you have to now explain.
It's the Reader's Digest PG version.
I think Jared's making some stuff up.
I'm making stuff up. I don't know.
Come on.
I think the most intense fan experience was the episode 9 premiere, which was the first time that we had done a live screening of an episode, and we expected like 50-100 people to show up, and then you know, I was just hanging down the street in a pub waiting for the show to start. Jeff had freedom to roam because no one would recognize him.
Yeah.
And you know, half hour before the show, I got this frantic call on my cell phone from Jeff, who was panicking because 500 people showed up and they were lined up around the block and they were blocking off my entrance into the show. So I had to pull my hoodie over my head really low and sort of run through this crowd. And then I got spotted at the end. So they're sort of chasing me down the alley and I had to run the back door. And it was a surreal experience. You know, after the show, I tried to escape and these swarms of fans from both sides of the theater surrounded me. They were blocking traffic, and I just got stuck in the middle of this mob and I ended up signing autographs for like 2 hours. And for that moment, I was Brad Pitt. You know, I was like, to these kids, you know, I was just the biggest celebrity in their world. And that experience is going to be hard to top.
You know, it's kind of like the Beatles, except it's all guys.
That's so sad,
it's
though.
It's all teenage guys, yeah. Right? Not the teenage girls.
Not a whole lot of groupie action.
No, I get on my hands and knees every day and pray to be gay. I'm like, oh God, if only I was gay, would I ever be hooked up?
Yeah, I think it was around episode 5 we decided next show is going to be so girl targeted, female audience.
I was kind of wondering, yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Our audience is 98% male,
mm-hmm.
which is ridiculously polarized. That's, you know, I don't know of any other show that has that much of a male viewership.
You know, are those other 2% hot?
Smoking, awesome.
That's cool.
You totally expected me to ask that, didn't you?
Yes, I totally did. So now, I mean, last episode, someone had played with the whole idea of maybe getting picked up as a TV show. Have a lot of TV studios or whichever have actually come out and asked you guys, like, asked to pick you guys up on a station or whichever? Or
well, we've talked to a lot of broadcasters. I'll say traditional broadcasters, people mm-hmm. that broadcast on television and whatever. And mostly our discussions have not led to anything because I think mostly they don't know what to do with our project. Mm-hmm. We're in a very unique situation. You know, we're very much at home on the internet. The internet has worked very well for us. Our business model of selling merchandise and giving the show away for free has worked very well for us. And we kind of don't fit into the whole general audience television mold of bland content. It's sort of niche content, and we have some, you know, pretty edgy stuff in terms of the spectrum of television, but on the internet, you know, it's whatever. It's what the kind of content that you expect on the internet, right?
Right, right. It's all free game.
Yeah. So you know, and we've had offers and we've talked to people, but I don't think that the Pure Ownage will ever come to television because it just doesn't make a lot of sense for what Pure Ownage is.
Okay. So what is now the future of Pure Ownage? I mean, obviously you're going to start season 2 up tomorrow, and you're going to do the North America tour. Like, what do you guys thinking of planning on doing as far as bringing Pure Ownage either to a bigger audience or just having some fun with it?
I mean, we have a few ideas, but it's all subject to change, really. Ever since, you know, since we've started, our ideas for Pure Ownage have, and how we're going to deliver it. And then, you know, we originally had no ideas for tours and any of that. It sort of just sort of came about by nature. So I'm not really sure entirely what we do, but what we do know is we'll do at least two full seasons, and we're planning for three, unless I am in a plane crash. Wow, I probably shouldn't record that. Like, that's totally going to happen.
Oh, that's okay.
You jinxed yourself. That's great.
But, you know, our only plan so far is to keep distributing on the internet. We feel very comfortable with, and I think our audience feels comfortable with us, with us there. And we're going to make a feature film either after season two or season three. And we're hoping that by that point we'll be, you know, our business will be legitimate enough that we'll have real theater distribution, and we'll make Pierrot the movie. And from there, the sky's the limit.
Are you guys working on a story for the Pierrot movie yet? Or?
We might be.
Now, is there something maybe you could offer us exclusively that, you know, help our traffic, of course? You know you want to.
No,
someone will say boom headshot.
we don't give out any spoilers or anything, because our fans would hate us if they accidentally heard a spoiler. You know, they're the kind of fans that don't want to know.
That is odd, because I've seen
like 24 fans in a way, actually.
I don't know. I've never really seen that any of the fans would not want to know spoilers about what's going to happen.
The running title for the movie in the office here is Pure Ownage the Movie. So there you go.
Wow.
Awesome.
Epic.
So cool.
Is there going to be a Pure Ownage the game?
That
might be a little meta, playing someone who's playing against other people.
We've seeded the idea in I think it was episode 10 was when we see the idea. Jeff and I are you know, both longtime gamers, and I mean, when I entered university, I had dreams of being a game designer. I mean, I've been worshiping Miyamoto since I was a kid, and I'd always thought that before I died, I'd have to design at least a couple games. So I hope that we're in a position where Pierrot can make a game, not even if it's not necessarily the Pierrot fiction, but if it's just involved with Pierrot somehow, we can make the best RTS, the best FPS, the best MMO ever made. I really think that Jeff and I could easily pull that off.
Have you guys already been approached by game developers to look at this?
We've been approached by quite a few independent studios, and you know, we talked to a lot of computer programming clubs at university. That would be the smallest case. But and then a lot of larger developers, some Eastern European developers, the smaller studios.
Okay.
But no one major, you know, like EA is not knocking on our door or anything.
Right.
But that might change in the next few years. We'll see. I think obviously Pierrot would lend itself well to a video game.
I think so.
Now, if you guys could be on a certain platform, which platform would you guys be on?
Ooh, there we go.
Probably the PC. Other than the PC, you know, that's a tough call. I guess it would depend on the type of game. You know, if I can see a lot I have a few titles in mind that would work well on the Wii.
I was just thinking that, actually. Pierrot is the Wii.
But I'm also a really big fan of Xbox 360 online multiplayer, you know, so.
Once again, Xbox rules.
Yes.
What can I say?
With Pierrot is the Wii, you could make it so you, when you win, you have to hump the monitor.
An idea.
In fact, I actually showed people Pierrot on his t-shirts last night with the humping motion. They want them. You'll have your first girl groupies. Just give me some time.
They're quite popular in the gay clubs of New York.
Was brought to you exclusively.
Wow, that is so awesome.
I'm kidding.
I was saying, Steve, well, we haven't targeted our gay demographic yet.
No, we haven't.
I think I just slammed them. I'm sorry.
Way to freaking go, my friend. Way to freaking go.
It's what I do.
All right. So now, how much are you alike? Are you to your characters? I mean, is it pretty much an instant thing? Like, it's just you take stuff from real life, or are you just not like it at all?
I think I like to tell myself that I'm more different than I probably really am from Jeremy. So I guess, like, I think he really is just deep down inside, he's a tiny subset of my character. Maybe it was more like what I was like when I was 14, 15 and not quite as reserved or mature yet. I'm an intensely competitive guy, so especially in gaming. So it was pretty easy for me to understand that culture, and I've had so much exposure to it. So, I like to think I'm not like him, but I often seem to instinctively display some of those characteristics. It's out of my control. So if I start humping your head at some point, I'm really sorry about that.
No, that's totally okay.
You know, it was recently when we were shooting episode 13 that I realized that I have a Kyle accent, and I was just talking, you know, as I would talk when I would say my lines from behind the camera.
Yeah.
But then I realized, and I didn't plan it or didn't try to make it happen, but this sort of Kyle-ish way of talking just developed. As I rewatched the old episodes, I don't know how it happened, but I just, you know, there is a Kyle accent, and it's I can't really do it on demand, but I do it when I'm saying the lines behind the camera. It's
well, natural. I know you do it by accent, because I remember the first time I met you, I didn't pick up the fact that you were Kyle until all of a sudden I heard a little bit of the Kyle accent.
Oh yeah,
and that's what I was like, that I was like, you're Kyle, aren't you? it was very subtle. I mean, you do sound similar, but it's very subtle when you get into that Kyle mode. It's awesome.
I remember that when I first met you. Yeah. I think it was, you know, you met me as Jeff. And it's like, yeah, this is Jeff.
Yep.
I think Darren West introduced us. And,
yeah.
And you're like, hey, man, how's it going? Okay, so back to the party, you know. And then you put it together. I was talking about, oh, I'm still working on the latest episode. Then you're like, wait a second, you're Kyle. Like, shook my hand again. Hey, Kyle, how's it going?
I'm sorry. I didn't even.
Crap, no. I wasn't special before, I guess.
No, I thought, honestly, I thought you were more of a friend of Amber's than he was. Because, I think it was the first time I met you. It was the first time I really was in Toronto, and no one got to meet all those people. I think it was the first time I got to meet Wes and Darren the first time.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, and then I thought it was just another guy that you just worked at the studio or whatever. I had no idea. And then all of a sudden it's like, working on next Wes. I was like, that's it. You're Kyle.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah. That was so cool.
You've just made yourself out to be the biggest nerd I've ever met, Steve.
Hey,
that's really cool though. That like you could pick up on that though.
Yeah. If I could be Pure Onage fanboy number one, I'll be okay. I'll get a t-shirt made. I swear to God I will.
Wow. That's why you're my friend, buddy.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. All right, so I thank you guys for coming on the show. I know you guys got to get really hurrying back up to editing up the episode 13. And you're like, what, 18 hours and counting or something like that?
Yeah, we've been in this situation before, so we're used to working.
Don't you love having the kind of pressure on?
Yeah,
the gun to the back of the head, so to speak.
This is actually less pressure than episode 12. Like, this is nothing. Like, yeah. I've been relaxed for most of the time because episode 12 was horrendous.
Is it more serious this time around, like episode 12, or is it kind of still going back to the whole essence?
Spoiler.
No. Hey, I'm sorry. I had to sneak. Try to sneak one in. Good job. You learned well. That was sly. You
might have a future in PR yet.
Oh, well, you never know. I just want to find out. We'll do this off record. I just want to find out what the hell happens to Jeremy.
Well, you'll find out tomorrow at 7.
Because Doug looked pissed, man. He was, I don't know. Like, actually, I real quickly though, Joel and Miranda, how did all of a sudden they come about to the show? Because you see, Joel lives out in Calgary, Miranda lives here, but how did all of a sudden they start to get added to the show?
Well, Joel is a longtime friend of ours, and we're from Calgary originally, and Jared had the idea for a character based on Joel. You know, we were thinking about Joel's look and what he can do as an actor, and so the FES Doug was created with Joel in mind. Miranda, I knew her from the U of T. And we were casting for the character of Anastasia, and we talked to a lot of girls, and it's funny that we ended up going with somebody that we just knew that I had lunch with, you know, in the cafeteria, and you know, all this, we took out ads, we posted flyers all over the place saying looking for an actress for this role in Pure Onage internet TV show, and you know, none of that helped. It was just this person that we had all along close to us that ended up in the role.
So how did all of a sudden the legend of Boom Headshot come about? Because that's one of the things that you're most famous for is the Boom Headshot. How did all, like, was that Joel's idea? Was that your guy's idea or what?
Well, Jarrett's original description of the FPS Doug character to me was, you know, I got this great idea for a character for Joel. He plays FPS. Jeremy plays RTS primarily. He's the FPS guy, and we can sort of explore the differences. And, of course, the F is a Twitch game, so he's got to be really high energy. He's got to jump around, and he yells boom headshot all the time. And, you know, and that's. But we didn't know it would be a big catchphrase. You know, it happened. We happened to be lucky that Joel used that phrase a lot, and it really the audience really identified with that. It's really amazing.
That's cool.
I've actually been yelling that for years while playing first-person shooters.
There you go.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just that's people – tend to say that anyway.
It works.
Yeah.
People like their gloating with their video games.
Yeah.
Cool. Actually, my most memorable thing, I was playing Unreal Tournament 2004. I jumped off a cliff and I yelled, I regret everything. Instead of I regret nothing. Because I totally missed the guy. Didn't work out too well for me.
Awesome.
Actually, as a sidebar, I forgot to sneak this in earlier. Steve told me specifically not to hit on Miranda.
He hits on any female that moves.
Thanks. He's like such a whore. I love you, buddy.
Well, tomorrow we'll have 98% of the audience hitting on Miranda.
Probably. Pretty much.
Yeah. Not before me.
Oh, jeez.
Safe pass access.
I would plot her for being able to handle that.
I don't know these guys.
Yes, bread for the Closet Geek Show.
All right, so, well, we'd love to be able to talk to you guys some more, but you guys can get back to editing. So thank you very much, Jeff and Jared, for coming on the show, and we hope to be able to have you back again. So
awesome. And
we'll
thanks,
man. We'll see you tomorrow on the premiere.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
Why is the program, like, freaking out? It's doing it again! This program... Communism! Freaking communism!
Can you count pi to 1,000 places? Wait, if you can, you're too much of a nerd.
They gave us a show, and we still don't know what we're doing.
I don't know either.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week where you'll hear Mike say,
I'm ad-libbing this as I go along. I'm just gonna let it roll, and I can edit out whatever I want. Okay. I need to think.
So make sure to tune in next Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM The New Heat. Also, make sure to visit our website at thisweekingeek.net for show notes, news, and updates about the show. Also, make sure to add yourself to our MySpace page at myspace.com/thisweekingeek. If you'd like to send comments or feedback about the show, email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. That's it for us. We'll see you next week on This Week in Geek.